Joining us this morning, your state senator, Brad Hawkins. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Well, great to have you. As we wrap up this summer season, do you feel yourself starting to really gear up as we move toward the next session?
Yeah, I do. This is the time of year when legislators start thinking about the upcoming session. It sneaks up upon us, and then obviously everybody's doing all the back-to-school activities, too. So around this time in the fall, usually when it starts to cool off a little bit, it starts to heat up in terms of, you know, legislative preparation. And part of what I do annually is I host a listening tour throughout the district, and I plan to do that again this year.
Mm-hmm. And what are the locations you'll be holding those opportunities?
Well, it's interesting, Jeff, because as your listeners know, the 12th Legislative District had some significant boundary changes this year, and so I'm hosting part of my listening tour here in Chelan County and the East Wenatchee area, and then also in November, I'm hosting a listening tour in the new areas of my district in Snohomish County, King County, primarily the communities of Monroe and North Bend. But for this listening tour, it's September 13th through the 16th, and I'll be visiting the communities of Cashmere, Leavenworth, Wenatchee, and Chelan. And I take meetings by appointments, but it's been something that has worked very effectively for us. This is my sixth annual listening tour. It's something I started soon after I got elected to the Senate, just to help me connect with people in their communities, hear about issues that are of concern to them. If they have legislative ideas or budget requests, I take those as well. And then hosting the listening tour in the fall still gives me ample time to translate some of those ideas to potential legislation or budget requests if I need to, between the listening tour and the legislative session in January.
Mm-hmm. Well, and speaking of budgets, you know, over this last year, we've heard of record revenue being collected by the state. What is the budget outlook for you? What are you seeing?
Well, the economists say it's somewhat promising, although I'm a bit skeptical. We have three budgets in the state of Washington: the operating budget, the transportation budget, and the capital budget. When most people think about the state budget, though, they kind of talk about the operating budget, which is a $64.1 billion two-year budget. We're going to be developing the next operating budget when we go back to Olympia in January. So the next operating budget biennium or two-year period is 2023 to 2025. And according to the most recent revenue forecast, which was in June, the economists are estimating that state revenues are likely going to be up approximately $1 billion. And I know that sounds like a lot, but it is a $64 billion budget, and in my opinion, the state's reserves are not as healthy as they could be because we've been sort of spending to the edge, and that's one of the reasons I did not support this last budget during the 2021 to 2023 cycle. So the next revenue forecast is scheduled to come out in September, and so that'll give us an even better indication as we prepare for session. But with inflation, interest rates, gas prices, some of those other, you know, economic uncertainties, if that tightens up a little bit, I think it could be a challenge to keep that state budget balanced.
What are some of the things that you're looking to occur for this next session?
Well, I really want to make sure, you know, speaking of budgets, that we are able to demonstrate an efficient use of taxpayer dollars. I feel like, as I've mentioned, we have spending to the edge and we don't have the adequate reserve, and our state is very reliant upon sales tax and business taxes to fund state government. And when their economy tends to shrink or pull back, our state revenues really suffer, and that's when you either see a push for more taxes to make up the difference or cutbacks in the state budget, and neither one of those are, you know, a good potential outcome. So I really want to focus this particular year on some of those budget sort of basic needs, but also our new legislative district with the new boundaries has a host of transportation priorities. I know there will be some wildfire work. And based on some of the input I will hear from constituents during the listening tour, that could also inform some of my legislative actions. Just a couple years ago, for example, the city of Leavenworth raised an issue with me during my listening tour about a challenge of disposing of their brush and yard waste, and they needed actually to run legislation to provide them some more flexibility, and we were able to do that. Or, you know, one thing leads to another, and I have a meeting with someone about an important project, and that leads to a budget request. So I haven't fully developed all of my legislative priorities yet, and part of the reason is this fall I want to hear from constituents and collect that information before I finalize that work. But I do need to do that before the legislative session, because as I've learned in my years as a legislator, if legislators wait until the session to start drafting their bills and putting together that information, they oftentimes are not successful. And so I have a good track record of kind of getting some of my priorities through, and I think that's due to advanced preparation. So I'm going to continue kind of that approach this year.
Mm-hmm. Well, recently we heard Governor Jay Inslee decide to follow suit with California to eliminate gas-powered vehicle sales. I believe it was by, what, 2035?
Yeah, so Governor Inslee, you know, he tends to, you know, he has kind of a national presence now in some respects, or he believes he does from his efforts running for the presidency in the past. And in some ways, I think he wants to outdo California in some respects, but the reality is California, Oregon, and Washington are somewhat similar these days in many of their priorities. But I am a supporter of electric vehicles. I'm a supporter of zero emissions vehicles, but I think that is more of a goal right now in his administration, and you know, that may need to be modified. But it is happening a lot quicker than people anticipated. The reality, though, is in terms of the percentage of Washington State drivers with a battery electric vehicle, as many Teslas as we probably see around, which look awesome, it's still, I believe, 1% or less than 1% of the total drivers. So part of the real challenge, I think, with meeting that goal, and that's ambitious, and I'm excited about converting to zero-emission vehicles, but the reality is we really need to make sure we have the charging infrastructure and the fueling infrastructure to make sure we can do that. Because if you think about it, if you're just driving around town, you know, charge up at your house, that makes sense. But if you do take that trip over the pass or visiting friends over the holidays, you need to make sure you have places to charge your vehicle along the way. And if you don't, you're in trouble. Or if you end up getting stuck behind someone else who charges up for 30 minutes and then you have to charge up for 30 minutes, you know, that puts a wrinkle in your whole trip. So I think there are still some challenges to meeting that goal, but I'm not necessarily opposed to having a goal of trying to transition to, you know, more emissions friendly vehicles, but that I would imagine that particular goal might be adjusted a little bit as the years go on.
Now, over the last several years, you've been a big proponent of hydrogen fuel. How do you see that coming into play?
Well, I think the battery electric plug-in vehicles tend to probably be more successful for passenger vehicles. But when it comes to the heavy-duty vehicles, like the semi-trucks or other, you know, utility vehicles and potentially transit vehicles, I do believe hydrogen fueling shows a lot more promise. And part of the reason is, for example, if we want to haul our apples from Central Washington over to the Port of Seattle, if you're doing that in a battery electric plug-in semi-truck, you have to park that semi-truck at the Port of Seattle and probably charge it overnight in order to haul back another load. But if you do it with hydrogen, you just simply refuel it like you do your gasoline or diesel vehicle, but it still has zero emissions. So I think for some of the long hauling and potentially short hauling and some of the more heavier duty industrial vehicles, I think hydrogen has a good application, as well as potentially trains and airplanes and some of those things. But it'll be interesting to see how things develop with passenger vehicles. But like I said, it's only 1% of the passenger vehicles have zero emissions. So I think there's a lot of markets still available for either hydrogen or plug-in electric.
Mm-hmm. Good report this morning, Senator. If folks want to get more information regarding your listening tour, they can find it at your website?
Yes, SenatorBradHawkins.org. Not only my listening tour, but all my past news releases, my email newsletters, my print newsletters. They can contact me if they have questions. If they can't make the listening tour, please contact me anyway if you have thoughts, feedbacks, or questions about state government, because my office and my staff exist to serve our communities, and we're eager to do that. So please, please do.
We appreciate your time this morning. Senator Brad Hawkins making a community connection this morning. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeff. Great to be with you.
Likewise, be well.